Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Musician Israel Nash got his start in clubs on the Lower East Side of New York City. His sophomore album Barn Doors and Concrete Floors garnered attention in Europe and in the UK and was chosen as the top album of 2011 by the Euro-Americana charts. Nash left New York City and moved to Dripping Springs, Texas 6 years ago, where he now has a recording studio. Nash's music is described as having a psychedelic quality, with hazy production, sparkling guitars, and ghostly harmonies. He's often compared to Neil Young in terms of his vocal quality and lyrics. I spoke with Israel Nash backstage at the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival in September. Thanks for being with us on Talkin' Music.
Thanks for having me.
So your latest album, Silver Season, you recorded in your own studio, which is the Plum Creek studio outside Austin on a 15-acre ranch in Dripping Springs, Texas. Why did you decide to make your whole musical scene happen there?
I had lived in, I was born and raised in Missouri and grew up playing in bands, writing songs, and then I moved to New York City. And that's where I met the guys in the band, that's where I met my manager and my engineer. Just, you know, kind of one of those moments you go to New York and you meet all these cool people. And then I moved to Dripping Springs like almost 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And in New York is an amazing place. So, and I have no regrets about that. It changed my life. But at this point in my life, just having space and living in the country and, you know, being able to play music full time. So it's just a nice place to have a refuge personally and artistically, you know? So, but yeah, it's a small town of like 1700 people. And I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice.
And you're close to Austin too. Super so close. You had, I know at the last South by Southwest, you had a whole group of people come out there and record. Is that right?
Yeah, we had it was our first annual inaugural party, and it was, we had like 150 people out there, and we had like just friends and family and some industry friends. And then we invited like 50 fans or something like that, you know, just had some contests and had like our families, like the guys in the band, like my dad and Eric's dad were like parking cars, you know, it was just very, very family and very Dripping Springs and just very much the vibe that I kind of wanted. You know, we had families there and kids and just an amazing mixture of people, you know. Mm-hmm. We had 7 bands, and we recorded all the bands, and then released those videos. So, yeah, we're going to, I guess, just keep expanding and keep it was just such an awesome time. So we're going to keep growing the festival and have this little crazy party out in Dripping Springs.
And let's talk about Fire and Flood, and that's off the latest, Silver Season.
Fire and the Flood was a song. It became even more relevant because I had written it before the recording session, but then we had a flood in the studio. Then even more lyrics came and some other things changed about it because it made it even more like a very literal flood. But it really was, I mean, I guess the spiritual overtone is that, you know, the fire and flood has a cleansing power, you know, to make us new, you know.
But I should
That was Fire and Flood from musician Israel Nash, who I spoke with backstage at the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival in September.
Did you get more of an audience in Europe before the U.S. found you?
Yeah, my first two albums were picked up by a European label, and I started going to Europe and, you know, couldn't get arrested in the States. But but as a kid that wanted to play music, I had, you know, opportunities to play music. It's not how I saw it at that time, but, you know, you realize that it's really hard to achieve, you know, fans and getting your music out. So I was really proud of that, you know, to be able to go to Europe and experience that first. And, but yeah, that's
what part of Europe, like where did you first go where you're like, wow, these people really like me?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those kind of things where Holland was in the Netherlands first, and I went over there, and the funny story is, like, I had the show at a festival and my wife was with me, and after the festival we sold a bunch of merch, you know, and like probably the biggest merch I'd ever had at that point, you know, and we were counting the money in the hotel room, and she said, Israel, you can make a living off this. I thought it was pretty great. So that kind of, it was just a big start of, like, I guess the professionalization of it, taking it from, you know, songs in your bedroom, making CDs and hoping people will, you know, like it, to being able to get on stages and having people familiar with your work. I mean, that's, it doesn't matter if it's Europe or anywhere, you know, just having people that appreciate what you do, that's how you keep on doing it. So it's beautiful.
It seems like it's another reason that people don't talk about very much, just in terms of why it's important to tour, too, because I think about some of these musicians that, for whatever reason, they don't get out of their little bubble. And actually, maybe if they left their bubble, they'd find a whole audience that they, I don't know, that they didn't even realize they had, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really critical, I think, you know, but it's not always as easy, you know. Like, I mean, I think, you know, if you were to try to tour in Europe completely independently or something, like, I mean, that's so expensive already. So it does help to have people in your corner helping organize that stuff. And, you know, so that just takes time. But yeah, for sure. I mean, going on the road changes you as a musician, and it changes you as a person, because you just, you have these experiences that you'll just never have in normal life, home. And it just has shaped me so much, just finding yourself in crazy positions, not knowing what you're doing, like, not knowing what side of the road you're, you know, all these just random things that occur, you know, that you've got to figure out, and you make it through, and, you know, it changes you.
Did it make you sort of trust your intuition more and just kind of trust more, I guess? Because I don't know, like, you can go into a brand new place and suddenly all the right people show up to kind of make it work.
Well, I mean, I think one thing that's really comforting is, like, you know, you go to a venue and it's like, and you're playing a show and it's like your place for the day. So, you know, you go into work at work in quotations, you know, like every day, and people are really happy that you're there, and it's a new thing every day, you know, and that's kind of a nice, you know, a nice aspect of touring, to have, you meet just incredible people all over. They might not be musicians. They might just, like, you know, we met a guy in Sweden who runs, like, the only, like, Jamaican food truck, you know, in Sweden. I never knew I would get that as a musician. Just always thought about playing music, but I never, which I think is even more important, is the relationships and the people that you meet along the way and that help shape you.
KEXP kind of put you out there for the States. That's one station that really supported you in the beginning. And you said this about radio stations, which I appreciated since I work at one. You said that all these people are just music lovers that somehow find each other, and people need each other. The radio needs songs. The songs need radio. You need fans. The whole thing is just this marriage, and I like to be a part of it. And I thought that was great, because usually as a, well, I'm not a musician, but I love music. Like, a big part of my life is about music. And sometimes you don't feel like you're a legitimate, if you're not a musician, you're not really a part of it, but you really are if you're a listener.
Yeah. I mean, I like to say, you know, like, it takes a village, you know, it's like my wife helps out, you know, it's like, it becomes this massive thing that's that's part of your life and you find your people. And I always talk about that, where it's like you go to these cool towns and it's how I kind of gauge a cool town, where it's like, I can find my people here if I were just landed here. You know, it might take me a couple of weeks, but I'll find some cool people.
Yeah.
I think it's not just being a musician. I think that choosing, you know, alternative career choices in life kind of puts you on that page where you share a lot with these people that are like that. So, yeah, but it takes all those workings to get the song from the bedroom to the airways, you know, and it's, so yeah, I liked recognizing that, you know.
Last night when I was preparing for this interview, I was listening to a lot of your music and watching videos and everything. And when I first started listening, I was like trying to do 100 things at once, and I was trying to pack and get ready to come here. And I realized, like, you can't actually listen to your music like that. You actually have to stop what you're doing, or at least you have to, like, calm down. I had to just be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I really feel like you do that on purpose, right?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think there was probably a time about like 4 or 5 years ago that, you know, like I really, like when I was younger, just being in bands and stuff, like, and I love all kinds of music, obviously, but that I wanted my shows and music to be less of a like stomping your foot and more of a, I guess, a spiritual interaction at some level, you know, not, I don't know, where people think, where people feel, where people appreciate, or something, where it can be maybe a background or an aspect of that, rather than, you know, rather than like hands in the air and like, I mean, and there's not some rock and roll in there, but I like the idea of music that makes me reflect, makes me feel. And that's the kind of music that always just really turned me on, was stuff that grabbed me.
Do you ever think about what you would do if you didn't go down this path?
I mean, I was talking about this earlier today, where it's like, I feel like what's interesting about life in general is the progression of it and how your view changes. And it doesn't even mean you were wrong before. It doesn't mean you were right. It just means that experience really shapes your life and you look at it differently. You know, when I was 14 years old and wanted to be a rock star, I was playing guitar and writing songs, but I had no idea, you know, like what it was like to go play in front of a bunch of people or go on a tour or release a record that more people were going to hear. So, I mean, it's the only thing, and I guess I've also realized over time what it is that draws me most to this. And I realized over time that as much as I love performance, that the real true passion that I've had is the thing that's never changed, which is when I was 14 years old, writing a song by myself in a bedroom that was a part of me, you know? And I think that's taken me a little time. I think just naturally, I think a lot of artists maybe go through this, where as the system becomes, as it becomes more professional in what you're doing, and there's more people involved, you have to be able to really separate that, yeah, you have to do that to do what we're doing, you know, but it has nothing to do with writing a song, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's important to know that, you know, those are two different kind of fields, you know? And so, yeah, I really love the creation process is the number one. I wouldn't do anything else, but yeah, I think that I've had a lot more reflections on it, and I'll have some more in 10 years, you know? And like, I love like meeting older artists. I think artists have this feeling in this age where you're like, am I doing, like, what am I, like, I'm going to be an old man one day. Like, what does all this mean? You know? And you meet these old guys like Ray Wiley Hubbard or something, and they're like, it's going to be all right. You know, like, it's going to be all right. So yeah, it's just about doing your thing and making your own world and having your people in it, and you know.
Yeah, actually, like when you meet people like that, you do realize it actually gets easier, maybe.
It does. I mean, there's something also really cool about music where it's like, you know, if you didn't know me and like we were in this room that we were locked and I'm a scary guy, I could be like, hey, look at this, like, this is who I am. It's like, you're all right. I'm not gonna hurt anyone. You know, it's like, I feel like music gives you this like immediate like filter, you know, where it's like, uh-huh, this guy must, he's probably all right, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't speak for everyone, but, you know, I think that's why it gets easier, where it's like, you know, and I think you become more comfortable yourself when you're, I mean, when you talk to people and, mm-hmm, you know, there was a time, like, when I was younger, my wife used to make fun of me, like, when we were dating, she'd be like, oh, you'll talk to someone about your music, and you'll, like, touch your hair and kind of be uncomfortable, and I don't know what changes. Like I said, it's so much about these experiences where it requires more of you, and it changes you. I think that a lot of artists have some free spirits, and I think that's what keeps you young. And you meet these old guys that seem really young, and you know, it's the fountain of youth, you know. And mm-hmm. I think it draws people to you and you to them, and like it allows you to do these crazier things you can't do by yourself.
I want to talk about a couple of the songs. Can we talk about Who in Time? And that was off of Rain Plans. And I think that was the song that I listened to last night that calmed me down. It's like a lullaby for an adult.
Yeah. I mean, the lyrics, the verses are kind of... One verse is, for instance, about a nun who had harbored some priests when England was changing religions. And another line is about a person going out from his family and having some regrets about what they've done in their youth. And so it's kind of a balance of the people that you need in life. And the chorus is that, and it's really supposed to be knowing who the people are that you need and being able to let go of those that you don't need, and, or helping them in whatever ways you can help change things, you know, like I really am big about people and how they affect you, and just realizing like the love that you share with your friends and family, how that, to me, that's what changes the world. It's like if everyone would change, even if, no matter how big your world is, if it's small or it's really big, if everyone were to change their worlds, the whole world would change. So I think that, you know, that song is about realizing, you know, finding positive people to help you change things, you know.
Thank you.
That was the song Who in Time by Israel Nash. I spoke with Nash backstage at this year's Telluride Blues and Brews Festival. I talked to Nash about his song Through the Door off his 2014 release, Rain Plans.
At that time, my wife was traveling for her job, and she was in Chicago like 4 days a week when we were in Texas. So she would come home on Thursdays, and I'd be home writing and maybe drinking a little too much. And like, it's like a lot of time out there in the hill country by yourself. This is before we had a daughter. So a lot of time by myself out there. But yeah, it was just that waiting for her. Cause when I first moved to Dripping Springs and out in the country, there would be times where I wouldn't leave for over a week. And I still like to do that, but it gets a lot harder once you have a family and have a daughter and like, you know, some more things are required of me. So I'll go into town and get milk. Okay. But,
you're a good dad.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, there was a time where I would just kind of be holed up out there and be kind of excited about human interaction and especially her coming back. So yeah, that song is about like the opening line is follow me to the hill country, because I mean that place just really changed my life, you know.
That's the song Through the Door from Israel Nash. And you've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.